Our scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a common thief. And he kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much. Picture this: loving hospitality, intimate friendship of Jesus with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. And here we are just 5 days before the crucifixion of Jesus. And you've heard the scripture, how Mary broke the bottle with this expensive perfume and knelt at the feet of Jesus and poured it on his feet and wiped it with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Nowadays, we have to worry about all kinds of things, if people are allergic to perfume or not, and all those kind of things. But isn't it wonderful how you get used to a certain smell, maybe the smell of your grandmother's perfume or your wife or someone that you love? And even the scent of that brings back all kinds of memories. I'm glad that when God created the world, he included the gift of smelling. And some people who had a bad case of COVID along the way learned that they lost their sense of smell for a while. And then when it came back, they were even more grateful for it. Isn't it great the way a little baby smells really good, especially when he doesn't have a dirty diaper? Isn't it wonderful the smell of bread baking and being served hot? Isn't it wonderful the smell of flowers, and here it is springtime and we're beginning to smell what springtime is all about. And it gives us new hope because we've had many dark days. And then you even have the smell of a new car. Now they have an aerosol that you can buy and spray in your car so it'll smell new again. And here we are in this scene. Just try to picture it. These were three that Jesus knew he could depend on. He didn't have a home of his own, owned very little, but he knew he could really be real with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. One thing struck me about this story as I read it. It said that Lazarus was reclining at the table. Here there is a lot of work to be done. And forgive me, man, but there he is sitting in his lazy boy, or reclining, while all the women are doing the work. And I've been wondering about Lazarus. I wonder what he was thinking. He had really been dead and anointed and put into a tomb and presumed dead. And Mary and Martha were very disappointed because they had told Jesus that Lazarus was near death, and yet Jesus didn't come. And he showed up 3 days late, they thought, but really just on time. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. And here we see Martha, 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 ever active servant, serving food. Mother Teresa is one of my favorite saints of the church, and she said, always do ordinary things with extraordinary love. And she did that across her life. And the women in my life especially have always added an extra ingredient to the bread they were baking and the food they made, and even the cards that they wrote. They did it with extraordinary love. And that's what we're called to do also. And I want you to think of this. How wonderful it is when we get to sit down and eat together, especially after these COVID days of isolation, to be able to get together again and to see our friends and our grandchildren and to take time to eat bread together. And one of my favorite times of the week is Open Table, where we gather together on Wednesday night, and I'm going to miss that for the next 2 weeks, but maybe it'll make me appreciate it even more when it comes back. And then the story says, Mary offers her complete surrender of devotion to Jesus. She broke this expensive bottle of perfume and wasted it. Judas thought it was wasted it on Jesus, and then she wiped it with her hair. You see, Mary loved Jesus with a love that said, I don't care what anybody else thinks. This is the way I'm going to demonstrate my love. You know, it's one thing to say, I love you. But it's another thing to really demonstrate that by our actions, by our devotion. And this was really breaking all kinds of cultural norms and traditions. Jewish women didn't let their hair down for those that they weren't very close to. And here Mary is demonstrating her love. She's unashamed. She unfurls her hair and she wipes Jesus' feet. Now, I know the Bible says, blessed are those who preach the gospel and their feet are beautiful. Well, my feet aren't beautiful. Are yours? They're stinky and smelly. Sometimes you have hammer toes and arthritis and all that stuff. Feet are not very pretty. We don't know what Jesus' feet really looked like. But surely he was wearing sandals and had been across the dusty roads, and here she is, I don't care, right down at his feet, even as the illustration shows us. Unconditional love. And what a difference Jesus makes. Just a few days ago, Mary and Martha felt forgotten and overwhelmed and uncertain and hopeless. The only smell that they had was the stench of death, Lazarus' decaying body. But what a difference Jesus makes. And now the room is filled with the fragrance, not only of this perfume, but the fragrance of love. You can feel it, can't you? Some people, when you meet them, you can tell they've got a dark cloud over their head. And you're not always so glad to see them. But people who love you, their eyes sparkle when you come into the room. And it's not exactly a fragrance with your nose always, but you just feel better being around them. And Jesus was like that. Here he'd spent 3 years of his life pouring out his life and his love to people, and many people followed him, especially in the early days. They wanted to see him do those miracles of feeding 5,000. They wanted to be healed. They wanted signs and demonstrations that God was really there with them. But in these latter days, There was a lot of betrayal and people backed off from Jesus because there were consequences to following Jesus. There was a lot of unbelief. They weren't really loving Jesus. They were following at a distance. And you know, to be honest, aren't there times when we are like that too? You know, I really love Jesus, especially on Sunday morning when everybody else agrees with me, but I don't know about talking so much about Jesus at the office or at school or even at the shopping mart. Oh, I love Jesus, but I don't really want anybody else to know about it. They might think I'm a religious fanatic. But Jesus poured out himself. He was broken and spilled out for us, and that's how God is calling us to love. I love children's stories. The Velveteen Rabbit is one of my favorites. He didn't really know who he was. He didn't know whether he was real or not until a little child started loving him. He wasn't the favorite at first because he wasn't a wind-up toy and he didn't make all kinds of noise. But later the child began to love him. He loved him so much he carried him everywhere. And he began to have his eyes kind of spilled out, and he was kind of loose in the joints. I saw this week somebody said, I can still remember when Rice Krispie treats were the only snap, crackle, and pop that I knew about. But now that I'm older, it's when I get up and when I move around. But you see, the Velveteen Rabbit is an example for us and for the children that are here, because being real is something that doesn't happen overnight. In fact, in the story of the Velveteen Rabbit, written by Marjorie Bianco, the skin horse is one of the characters. And the rabbit says, "What do you do to really be real?" And the skin horse was always very wise and he never lied. "It's a thing that happens to you," the skin horse said, "when a child or a person loves you for a long, long time." "Does it hurt?" asked the Velveteen Rabbit. "Well, sometimes, said the skin horse. "But when you're real, you don't really mind being hurt. Now, it doesn't happen all at once, like being wound up or new batteries put in. It doesn't happen all at once. You just become. And the old preacher in me thought about John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, to those who believe, to those who really love Jesus, he gives the power to become who we were really meant to be all along. The power to become. Now, it takes a long time, according to the Velveteen Rabbit, and it takes us a long time because we get all wrapped up in ourselves and we think the most important thing is to be noticed. One kind of troubling thing about Lazarus is that we don't hear anything else about him. He's never quoted. We don't know any wonderful things he does. That seems kind of sad, but then I got to thinking that maybe Lazarus had discovered the joy of being unseen in a world where people are desperate to be noticed. It's good to do things for other people, especially when they do good things back to you. But Jesus is calling us, do things anonymously. Do things when there's no thought of return. Do things for those that you know are not going to respond in a similar way, and then you'll truly be blessed. Wow. Jesus asks a lot, doesn't he? But he only asked us to do the things that he did. He was broken and poured out for you and for me. One other thing, the skin horse said, it really doesn't matter. You don't worry about being hurt anymore. It doesn't matter because once you're real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand. And only a few days, Jesus is going to be kneeling at the feet of his disciples and washing their feet. What a humble thing for our Lord to do. And he didn't just do it for those that deserved it. He did it for Peter, that he knew was going to deny him. He did it for Judas, who he knew was going to betray him. He did it for those other disciples, and all of them, except for John, scattered at the crucifixion because they were afraid. After Jesus had poured out his life to them, they were not there for him. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember? Jesus said, "Won't you stay with me for a while?" As Jesus agonized with a choice and finally said, "Not my will, but your will be done." But what were the disciples doing? Sleeping. Sleeping. But all that didn't stop the love of Jesus. The song that was so beautifully done by our trio. Lord, you were God's precious treasure, his loved and his own perfect son, sent here to show me the love of the Father. Just for love it was done. And though you were perfect and holy, you gave up yourself willingly. You spared no expense for my pardon. You were used up and wasted for me. And then the song really starts meddling because it says, we are invited to be broken and spilled out just for the love of Jesus. Broken and spilled out and poured at my feet. In sweet abandon, let me be spilled out and used up for thee. I love that word kenosis. You know, it's one of those fancy words I learned in my seminary, and I don't get to use it a whole lot. But anyway, Philippians chapter 2 says, God, the creator of the universe, poured himself out into the form of human flesh. He didn't count all the powers of heaven as to be grasped and held on to. Instead, he gave all that up. Kind of like the old song, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. He came because he wants to sit down and eat with you and with me. He came because he wants to hear your joys and your sorrows. He came because he wants you to know that it's possible to be very close to God. God's not far away. And this is really shocking. He came because he believes in you and you and you, even when you don't believe in him. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? It's an unquenchable, unstoppable, miraculous love. And you and I are not just to follow a book of rules or standards or ethical principles. We're to be filled with God's Spirit that we might be a channel of blessing for other people. And it's good always to, when you're doing good things for others and they want to praise you for it, to say, if you see something good in me, that's not really the old me. That's just Jesus living in me and demonstrating his love to you. I love the way Jesus always reached out to the broken and the hopeless and the disappointed and the successful that said, all my life I've been so busy trying to be successful, and here I am and I'm still not happy. And Jesus reached out to them too. Jesus is reaching out to you today, saying, don't just be a spectator. Don't be a follower afar off. Come close to me. Receive my love. And so even as life breaks you, you can be a channel of blessing. It's not important anymore what other people say or think. If you're filled with the love of Jesus, you know all about it. You know all about it. At communion, we have it demonstrated clearly that Jesus was broken. His body was broken for us. And his blood was poured out for you and for me. May it be so. And may we be those who would be broken and poured out for Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.